Radio Prague News.
The government has rejected a call for a parliamentary investigation into alleged corruption linked to purchases by the Defence Ministry. Petr Nečas is beginning his first visit to Brussels since being appointed Czech Prime Minister at the end of June. And Michal Kocáb has been dismissed as Government Commissioner for Human Rights. The Czech government has rejected an opposition call for a parliamentary investigation into alleged corruption linked to purchases by the Ministry of Defence. A Czech newspaper this week reported that a former head of NATO had warned Czech officials that the country risked tarnishing its reputation over the background to the purchase of armoured personnel carriers. While the police are currently investigating a former deputy defence minister over alleged bribe-taking linked to a contract for mortars. MP Petr Gadzik of coalition party Top 09 told reporters the opposition Social Democrats' call for an investigation was motivated by upcoming Senate and local elections. Petr Nečas is beginning his first visit to Brussels since being appointed Czech Prime Minister at the end of June. On Wednesday evening, Mr. Nečas will hold talks with the President of the European Commission, José Barroso, and the Commissioner for Economic and Monetary Affairs, Olli Rehn. During a three-day visit to Brussels, the Czech Prime Minister will also take part in a European Union summit and meet the General Secretary of NATO, Anders Fogh Rasmussen. Prime Minister Nečas says he plans to raise the question of Canada's visa requirement for Czech citizens at Thursday's EU meeting, which will also be attended by the bloc's foreign ministers. Mr. Nečas told reporters on Wednesday that Prague regarded the matter as one of European solidarity. The Canadian government introduced visas for Czechs in July 2009, following an increase in the number of asylum applications for Czech Romanies. The European Commission floated the idea of imposing a visa requirement on Canadian diplomats, but that hasn't come to pass. Michal Kocáb has been dismissed as Government Commissioner for Human Rights. Mr. Kocáb had already tendered his resignation, but said he planned to stay on as Human Rights Commissioner until a successor was installed. Prime Minister Nečas announced on Wednesday that the Cabinet had voted to remove him with immediate effect, saying a number of names were in contention for the post. And finally, a quick look at the weather. We should see both sunny spells and rain in the coming days, with temperatures expected to reach a maximum of 18 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find many more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
Listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Interior Ministry's anti-corruption plan comes under fire. Four candidates are in the running for the post of Prague mayor. Could the Civic Democrats be facing a defeat in Prague for the first time since the fall of communism? The Transport Minister puts construction projects back on track. And later on, a look at the rise and fall of Czech comedian Vlasta Burian. All that coming your way, so please do stay with us. Some 2.5 months after calls for curbing corruption changed the Czech political landscape, the Interior Ministry unveiled its anti-corruption strategy. But the long-awaited plan has been coldly received both in and out of the coalition, and the NGO watchdog Transparency International has even quit the ministry's anti-corruption panel. Jan Richter has the story.
Strong anti-corruption rhetoric earned the Public Affairs Party over 10% of the vote in May's general election. 2.5 months later, party chair and interior minister Radek Jón presented a draft of the ministry's anti-corruption strategy, but it immediately came under fire from all sides. The Czech Republic last year dropped to 52nd place in the Transparency International Corruption Perception Index, indicating that the problem which has plagued the country for decades is not getting any better. To change that, Interior Minister Jorn has come up with a set of measures that include submitting police officers and public officials to corruption tests, anti-corruption manuals and ethic codes for the police and the public, and also changing the law to allow the police to use wiretaps more extensively.
Policie byla předchozími poslanci učiněna zcela bezzubou.
The previous lower house made the police absolutely toothless. The police were unable to wiretap people involved in corrupt practices. And we all know that journalists disclose many corruption cases through wiretaps. We need to fix these mistakes and give the police those powers again. We also need the Institute of Active Repentance. When someone has given a bribe four times and has had enough, and they don't tell. But they would if they had that institute.
This is only the first stage of the planned anti-corruption strategy makeover, but it was quickly shut down by Prime Minister Petr Nečas. He said that the Interior Ministry has yet to come up with a credible anti-corruption strategy. The current plan needs to undergo significant changes before it gets to the government for approval, according to Mr. Nečas. The anti-corruption watchdog Transparency International also dismissed Mr. Jorn's plan. Václav Láska is the head of the NGO's Czech branch.
I wouldn't consider this an anti-corruption strategy of any kind. It's a mixed bag of overblown ideas like those manuals or ethics codes that have no practical significance. It also focuses very much on repressive measures, some of them of a very controversial nature. What we expected, prevention measures, new bills and other things, none of that is in there.
Mr. Láska said that the draft failed to address a number of important points, such as better legal protection for whistleblowers and a plan to make public procurement more transparent. Transparency International also left the ministry's anti-corruption panel, saying Mr. Jorn was using them for publicity, but didn't really take their advice into account. They said, however, that they would be open to consultations with the ministry, which aims to adopt a comprehensive anti-corruption strategy by 2012.
Jan Richter with that report. Weeks after other political parties announced their candidates for Prague mayor in the upcoming municipal elections, the Civic Democrats have finally made public their own choice. 66-year-old Bohuslav Svoboda, a former head of the Czech Medical Chamber. The Prague Civic Democrats are hoping Mr. Svoboda, no stranger in the public eye, will help turn their fortunes around after they did poorly in the national election earlier this year. But many observers say they'll face a tough battle. Jan Wellinger asked political analyst Jiří Pehe about the party's chances of succeeding in the elections.
I think that the municipal elections are crucial for a civic democratic party simply because it is a party that played a very important role in Czech municipal politics for many, many years. And if it loses its position, it will be, I think, hurt on the central level, national level as well. In fact, it seems that these coming elections will be, to some extent, a judgment of the public on the ability of the Civic Democratic Party to continue as a dominant party on the political right. What 4 years ago looked like a very good situation for the Civic Democratic Party, that is an absolute majority in Prague, and the party as a result was able to govern virtually without any coalition partners, turned to be really a nightmare because the Civic Democrats in this dominant position were misusing their power on many levels, and now I think that the public will deliver a defeat.
Is it fair to say that could be one of the reasons why it has taken so long for them to announce an official candidate, long after the other main parties announced theirs?
I think that the fact that the Civic Democrats have not been able to find a leader for Prague speaks volumes, simply because it is no longer a party that really decent, well-known people want to be associated with, and that's why they had such a problem to find a suitable candidate, whereas their main opponent, Top 09, had no problem to find a very credible personality, or if they wanted personalities, to lead their party list in Prague.
regarding the candidates, Top09, of course, nominated Zdeněk Duma, the former head of the Czech National Bank. What do you think of the choice that the Civic Democrats made in Mr. Svoboda, the former head of the Czech Medical Chamber?
I think that Mr. Svoboda is a decent choice in the end. However, he, of course, doesn't have the stature of Mr. Duma. He's a known personality, but in the past he has also been known as someone who tried to be elected. At that time, he was running on the list of the coalition of four smaller parties, and he didn't manage to get elected. Whereas Mr. Duma is really someone who has a lot of or enjoys a lot of credibility in Czech society, and that will help Top09 in this contest.
And how open at this point do you think the contest is? We mentioned two of the nominees there, but of course the other parties also have their own that they put forward, public affairs, for example, Markéta Rýdová or Jiří Dienstbier Jr. for the Social Democrats. Do you think it's an open race, or is Duma at this point the front runner?
If we were talking about a different city, then it would be an open race. But Prague is traditionally really leaning towards the right. And therefore, I think that the main contest will be within this right side of the political spectrum, that is between the Civic Democrats and Top09.
Political analyst Jiří Peher there speaking to Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger about the upcoming municipal elections in Prague. Now, stalled Czech road and rail projects have been given the green light to continue by the Transport Minister after construction companies offered savings and other concessions. But with the country still not out of the tunnel as regards spending cuts, the Minister has other plans to build on. Chris Johnstone reports.
Transport Minister Vít Bárta created a shockwave in the cosy world of major road and rail construction work when soon after coming into office he demanded a halt to ongoing and planned projects. The minister said there was not enough money in the coffers to continue with all of them, and he demanded a review, warning that some would have to be dropped. On Tuesday, the minister, who has undoubtedly made the biggest impact in the new centre-right government, announced with a touch of triumphalism the fruits of what he described as a poker game with the road and rail construction companies.
We can note here that after 2 months and a day in office as Ministry of Transport, we can inform citizens of the Czech Republic that we can proceed with construction at costs which are 5% cheaper.
Stavíme o 5% levněji.
The concessions from construction companies involve not only cuts in costs, but also rescheduling of the payment calendar so that some work will not have to be paid for this year. The overall result is that all but a handful of the stalled road and rail projects will now proceed as originally planned. But this is far from an end to the minister's crusade to put the way the state contracts major transport infrastructure projects on new tracks. He is, if anything, moving into a higher gear.
Pro mne tato věc není zdaleka konečná. Je to, řekněme, první.
For me, this is far from ended. This was just the first crisis stage in my new capacity as Minister of Transport. We will continue to work on making construction cheaper. Nonetheless, we will be acting in a more conceptual way and mainly seek savings, which will involve more fundamental changes in projects.
Která budou vyžadovat zásadnější projektové změny.
In the longer term, cash is still lacking for a series of longer-term earmarked road construction projects. Here, Mr. Bárta says that around 130 billion crowns of such projects could be financed through partnerships between private companies and the state, so-called public-private partnerships or PPP projects. Private companies could, for example, build roads and later recoup their costs from toll charges. One problem here is that government guarantees usually have to be offered if the toll income is less than expected. If companies do not rush to take up this idea, the minister has another card up his sleeve. He might just invite Chinese construction companies to make offers to build Czech roads. That idea is not as outlandish as it might first seem. Neighbouring Poland has awarded a Chinese company contracts to build around 90 kilometres of motorway at prices which were said to be around a quarter below what local companies were demanding.
Chris Johnstone with that report. A reminder for latecomers to the show that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. In the next few minutes, we're offering you a look at the rise and fall of the country's most popular comedian of all time, Vlasta Burian.
Do Ameriky jezděj parníky, když vystoupíš, připadá ti všecko veliký.
For all the funny people who have contributed to a century of Czech filmmaking, the title King of Comics belongs to only one. Vlasta Burian would be 119 years old next month, and he would be very proud of his reputation indeed, still a star of the Czech television screen today. But his career as a comedian went hand in hand with the tragedies of the 20th century, and in his lifetime he was a pauper, a prince, and a pauper again. From early on, Vlasta Burian was interested in two things above all else. Sports, for one. He played league football for Žižkov and had a showcase full of trophies to show for his skill in cycling and tennis. And he also had a special appreciation for the theatre. Vladimir Just, who has written 4 books on Vlasta Burian, told me about how both of these interests worked with a knack for comedic storytelling to make him such a special comedian.
He was someone who worked his way up from cabaret stages with acts that bordered on circus clownery. He had a tremendous gift for imitation and for movement. He could have made a living as an acrobat or a juggler if he'd wanted to. He did work in a top circus, actually, and he was even a goalkeeper for Sparta Prague, the most popular football team in the country at the time. So he was a person of enormous talent in many things, and he worked his way up from the cabaret to one of the most important stages in Prague.
Vlasta Burian was one of those rare people who could get a laugh just by sitting still and saying nothing. He had a face to play any kind of character at all, and that lent wonderfully to parody. But his humor was generally simple and gentle and based almost entirely on improvisation.
Good evening. What for evening? You are the butler here. Visit that is Sluska?
Sluska.
Yes, all right. My name is Mr. Jonathan. I come from America. You understand?
Koho mám prosím ohlásit?
Yes, mich spiegel Poperniki. Ja sam Strejc Jonáš. I jedu z Ameriky.
Strejček Jonáš.
Yes, all right. Mich spiegel Poperniki. Come on. Pani máš godár? Jdi mě oznámit a kup si za to nějaký pozemky. Yes, all right.
In short, he was a natural-born entertainer, but as his great-granddaughter Monika Kristlova told me, talent was by no means the only key to his success.
He was a self-made man. It was not only his talent, but also part of his personality as a hard-working person. He probably worked as top managers nowadays, like from really early in the morning until late in the evening, not so much sleep. And of course, my grandmother used to say that he loved applause. He really enjoyed it, and I think that his love and passion to his work was the reason why he's still popular. You can feel it in his acting that he really loved it.
By 1925, when he was 35 years old, the poor boy from Liberec had opened a theatre of his own on Wenceslas Square, in part because he was unable to keep up with his obligations for other theatres. It made him rich, very rich, in fact, and a golden age began in which he was getting 10 times the commission of his colleagues. They might have been equally famous, but he was becoming a living legend. Chocolates and new varieties of roses were named after him. He purchased a castle and the fastest cars, and even considered running for president, some say, all thanks to the hitherto unseen popular support he enjoyed as a comedian.
Here, Mr. Jonathan. He's from America. You are Mr. Carson?
Oh, yes, thank you very much. Now, Miss Mir Kent is here, aren't now? Miss Mir Kent is your cousin, Morty Kent, because no, Morty Kent is my wife here, and mine, or similar myself.
Jeho život je námět na román. On totiž se z velmi chudých poměrů se vypracoval na...
His life was like something out of a book. From great poverty, he had become one of the wealthiest people in Czechoslovakia. He had an industry of films and gramophone records behind him, and he starred in advertisements. And what's more, he was proud of his wealth, and he flaunted it. If Sparta won a match, then all 11 players were invited to his castle for a lavish celebration, and he made sure all of Prague knew about it. He was like Charlie Chaplin in this, who also went from rags to riches. But Chaplin lived in a society used to great wealth, whereas in Bohemia, such people have always been envied. So this came back to haunt him in the years after the war, his flaunting of wealth.
Through most of World War II, Burian continued to do what he did best, sell out theaters. But with the paranoia that followed the war came his downfall, and it happened very fast.
He was accused of collaboration, and there were two main points. First, that he was visited by Nazis in his villa, and he was friend with Nazis, which was not true. We knew as a family. The second one, that he was taking part in some radio program, Hviezdy nad Baltimore.
Hviezdy nad Baltimore, or The Stars Over Baltimore, was a Nazi radio sketch with Burian that ridiculed the exiled Czechoslovak government in London. But just as he had made tacit fun of Germans throughout the war, sometimes risking his career or even his life for a particularly snide joke concealed in Czech, Burian testified that he had in fact sabotaged The Stars Over Baltimore.
He was very good in his German language, as he was born in Liberec. So he was fluent in German, and in this program his German was very, very bad and weak. So it was his kind of protest and comic moment where he wanted people to know that he's not with them, and he makes jokes of them.
The joke could not be examined by the court because the recording had mysteriously disappeared. When the war ended, he was thrown in prison among common thieves. Eventually he was released, but the press had convicted him already. Politicians were eager to make a point of him, and despite scanty evidence, he was sentenced to several more months of imprisonment and a fine of half a million crowns.
It was the scourge of success. His success was so great that his fall was all the worse. He never understood how there could be such a wave of hatred against him, especially in the press, in a nation that had once absolutely adored him. Not a single voice came to his defense. So after he wrote a letter of contrition, he was pardoned in 1950. But it would never be the way it was before. He was to stick to the scripts, and there was to be no improvisation, and he didn't know how to act without improvising. And when he finally came back to the stage and screen, he was a ruin, a shadow of the former king of comedy.
Mr. Joost found in the archives that state security had fixed the court. In the early 1990s, the actress Lida Barová admitted that she had been forced to testify against him. He was exonerated 32 years after his death, and his body was moved to the pantheon of Czech citizens. That, though, in no way affects the fall from grace that Vlasta Burian had to live through for 17 years until he died in 1962. He suffered his whole private life from melancholy, some believe from a manic depressive disorder, and with the mania stripped from him, he is said to have died in depression. A poignant story from that time recalls his being asked to sign a photograph on which was written Král komiku, the king of comics. But he was just a králík, he said, a little king, or literally in Czech, a rabbit. For his family and his great-granddaughter, Burian's exoneration in 1994 meant more than just a personal vindication.
It's not really about him, but it's more about society and principles which are very fragile and connected to all of us. So it was very important for everyone in our country. I think it's very scary in a way, and it makes me very scared of reality. If you consider how powerful and rich he was, and still there was a possibility to accuse him from the opposite what he did in his life, it's very scary.
In the long run, everybody's story ends with how they are remembered, and Vlasta Burian is as alive as ever on Czech TV screens, still the king of the comedians as much as ever, and he will have the last laugh in his story for a long time to come.
Yeah. to jak...
Czech comedian Vlasta Burian in that edition of Czechs in History by Christian Falvey, and it was first aired in January of this year. I'm afraid our time is up. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz, and you can also write to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.
Jde se mnou na ramě z kopce, vidím se živě podzemní kopce. Teď jenom ukujou pevný okovy, ostatní bylo by komplet hotový. Žalárník zkouší klíče od basy, bajonetem mě kudlají vlasy. Vězeň na vezězi ko mně dorazí, pro pravdu jsem i císař urazí. Anton Špelec, ostrostřelec, toho když to popadne, poručí si Liguere, pak to bídně dopadne. Já bych do toho kop, Liguery jsou můj hrad. Šuškali o mně sousedky v domě, nedaj-li medaj-li, že je po mně. Co jsem se natěšil, ona nepřišla, protože tam na mě žádná nevyšla. Já se tak těšil na tu medaj-li, jestli ji daj-li nebo nedaj-li. Kdybych se náhodou znova narodil, tak bych se zmačkal a potom zahodil. Anton Špelec, ostrostřelec, toho když to popadne, poručí si Liguere, pak to bídně dopadne. Já bych do toho kop, ta medaile bude můj hrob. A teď už bych ji ani nevzal. Když ji nedali, a kajcí žežerou, já ji nepotřebuji. A jak ji přinesou a chytnu a vyhodím to z okna.
Se když hlaholí jako posedlá, kdo poslední se vždycky rád dosedlá. Bitevním, když na poli boje náramný, kdo bitvu strategicky řídí za kamny. Nůže, kdo bitvu může, prek ten zahrný. Na starnice kapolní maršálek, ten jen v Mariáši dává flek. Na války kašle.